There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
Well, you know, I got to ask a question. I wonder if there's anybody still there. After last week's debacle of starting the show three times, here's what happened. We actually started the show right on time this evening, but I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there was like no volume, just zero. And the only way for me to fix that is to literally shut down. I mean, like, shut down. Reloop the show, last week's show, and literally turn off every single machine here in the barn and restart them and start from scratch. But I've got it down. I mean, it's like a NASCAR pit stop. It's under 4 minutes, but I'm sure it's a little disconcerting to you. So, okay. Well, if there's still anybody out there, today's date is, what day is it? Today, oh, it's Tuesday. Well, of course it is. There's a show. It's Tuesday, November 26th, 2013. And we're not going to talk about Jesus tonight, and we're not going to talk about Christ tonight. We're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and we're not going to talk about grace. We're not going to talk about any of those guys. We're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about you. We're going to talk about me. We're going to talk about Jim. And because an interesting thing happened. I was in town, lots of traffic. I hate to go to town. I didn't want to go to town when there was lots of traffic last night, but there was. And they wanted me, they being the guys, they wanted me to go to town. So I did, and apparently there was a learning lesson in it. Who would know? But anyways, everything about Christianity is about forward movement. You know, you can't steal a train, but you can rob a train because the tracks only go where they're going to go. It's kind of like that with Christianity, because people spend so much time worrying, rethinking, Monday morning quarterbacking what happened yesterday or last year or when they were a child. Or you spend worrying about what's happening right now and how bad it may get. But here's the problem. In all of that past thinking and all of that current thinking, there's no room for grace in your life. You have to look ahead. There's all kinds of indicators in the Bible that talk about your future as a Christian. All your sins are forgiven. They're talking about stuff that you don't even know you're going to be involved in. They're referring to choices that you can make in your future that you don't know about either. And for his son to go through all that torture and dying and sent to hell before he goes home for you and me, and we weren't even created yet, and most of our family trees were just little sprouts, So why pray for something that happened? Why pray for something that's happening? Why not just thank God for all the things that are going to happen that are good? Jim, people have to learn to be forward thinkers or they're literally going to miss the bus.
Yeah, everything about the Holy Ghost is in your action of faith. That's kind of a cliche, you know, in the day that we're living. But nonetheless, it's true. Everything about the Spirit of God and God's grace is in your next step. It's in your next word that's spoken. It's in your next heart-filled conviction. I've got a scripture here in 2 Timothy 2 and 1 through, well, we could read 1 through 4. I guess that would be good. Listen to what it says. It says, "You therefore, my son," this is Paul talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Notice everything else after this is about being strong in the grace. And it says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." Well, notice in all these three individuals, notice the forward progress in each one of them. The soldier, who is doing his work unto progress and success. The athlete, who is not competing for the sake of just being out there. He's competing to win. And the farmer, who is working hard to produce something for the longevity of life and the sustaining of life. Each one of these individuals is all about the future. And everything they're doing today has to do with what they experience tomorrow. That really fits in what we're endeavoring to teach people tonight about the work of grace in your next step, not just looking at your life as it is right now.
If you look at Scripture from the point of view of somebody seeing the forest for the trees, looking ahead, advance, and not worrying where you're stepping now, but where the road is 10 miles away, They'll see that there's all kinds of indicators, and at first, indicators is in Genesis. Most of the slapping and punishment that Adam and Eve received was all about their future. It wasn't really about you had some apple pie, you made some apple butter, and then you washed it down with apple cider, you shared it with Adam. Okay, you two guys are in big trouble now, kind of a deal. But think about what he said. Forever. To the serpent, he said, "Okay, fine. I'm taking away your wheels, and you're forever going to be." Find out where it talks. Find that in Genesis.
Okay.
Do you know? Genesis is the first one. Did you know that?
Thank you for telling me that. That's good.
Well, I know that you're a pastor, and you're always pasteurizing.
And what did you want? The part where he said,
"I want you to read about when he's punishing."
Third chapter.
And then we're going to take it slowly, because most of the punishment is future. Think about it. If you're praying, it says, go in a room, shut the door, close the curtains, turn off the CD player, and ask, and you shall receive. Okay, did you find it?
I did. Yep.
Okay, where is it? It's in the book of Genesis.
Chapter 3. And verse 16, he starts talking to the woman. You don't need to hear what he says to the serpent, do you?
Well, yeah.
You want to hear that part too?
This is why I shoot snakes.
Okay, that's right. "And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this..." Wait, I got to get in the New King James. I don't want to read all the Elizabethan English there. All right. And it says, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust in all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. to the woman, he said, I will.
Okay, stop. Look what he did to the serpent. Yep. For all your days. He's what? He's talking about the future.
Right.
And he's talking about how men are going to stomp on his head, try to kill him.
This is what you can expect.
You can expect that man is going to try to beat you up and kill you mm-hmm. and stomp on your head, and you are going to try to bite them in their leg,
right,
in their heel. And so he's not talking about today. God is talking about the future of things.
Right.
Okay, go on.
To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.
Okay, see, once again, what happened? They didn't have kids. They weren't even talking about kids. They weren't even shopping for kids' clothes.
None of it.
No showers, no nothing. They weren't picking out names. And look what he said. Childbirth is going to be tougher than tough.
Right.
Okay, go on.
And then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, but thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return.
See, all their punishments was future. You're going to work, and you're going to have to work really hard, and you're going to have to buy your own food. I'm not taking you to Arby's or Taco Bell or Pizza Hut any longer. No, you know, no more fast food in the Garden of Eden. You got to grow your own tacos.
Right.
Well, I guess you don't really. Well, no, I guess you do grow a taco. You grow the, you know, the grain for the for the taco shell, and you raise the beef, and you grow the lettuce, and you make the cheese.
Right.
Oh my gosh. You can grow a taco. Well, you can't. Do you know how to garden?
A little bit, yeah.
Seriously, what can you grow other than like a dandelion?
Well, we used to have gardens all my life when I grew up. And we'd have to work in them. We'd have to plant. We'd have to till. We'd have to weed.
Really?
And we harvested, yeah, everything from corn to tomatoes. Of course, beans and squash and zucchini and beets. We'd all had those. We'd had potatoes at times. We'd have those too, the red potatoes.
I only grow two things in my garden.
What?
Pumpkins and popcorn.
Well, okay. But we had.
Does your mom have a garden now?
No. But she definitely has a real green thumb. My grandfather did too.
Well, that's loss of circulation. We'll pray for her.
There you go.
Yeah. See, now there's a building for you. What? You got a green thumb? Come on, everybody. Let's get a prayer team. Let's get a what are they called? Prayer rags?
Prayer claws.
Ah, that's close. But see, folks, this is what. Stay on topic, please. What we're talking about here is about how you get so wrapped up. We all do, in the day-to-day dramas of life, and worried that this is going to happen again, or we're never going to get over it. What is there to pray about history? What is there to pray about what's happening now? Because if it's happening now, it means that you're not connected with God and you don't have grace. So as far as a Christian is concerned, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. It's last week's news. But if you get up in the morning, this is what, when I get up in the morning after I'm done hugging and playing and wiping the sleep from Ranger's eyes, the first thing I do when I stand up and I say, well, guys, we're going to have one hell of a day. It's going to be a great day. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going on. But I know that you guys are going to make it a very good day. And I'm really glad for it. So let's get going. My attitude is it's all about grace. It's their responsibility to take care of everything. And I've admitted I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm along for the ride, and it's going to be a good ride. But if you get out of bed and you get dressed and you're worried and you're on your way to work and you're going, oh, please, God, please, could you just help me with this? Oh, please, God, please, can I get there on time? Please let my boss have food poisoning from our Thanksgiving dinner yesterday, and so he takes the whole week off, please. I just don't need another day like yesterday. What about that says conviction or anything positive or pleasant?
I have a scripture here about the forest and the trees. You didn't know that there was one in there. There's two. 2 Corinthians 10:7. Listen to what it says. You stare and stare at the obvious, but you can't see the forest for the trees. The obvious that everyone's staring at is their present situation. But looking beyond your present situation and seeing what grace can do, and this involves what? It involves your imagination. It involves your creativity. Something that we have talked about in past shows that maybe we'll reiterate some initial thoughts along this line tonight. And that is everything about the world and the way the world system is going right now is actually to rob your creativity and take your imagination away from you. That's why the more and more you allow other people to do for you, the more you rely on some type of assistance, the less that you find your ability to, with an imagination and with creativity, to make things work themselves. If everyone's always doing something for you, can you not see how you lose that sharpness of being able to see and invent things in your mind and the possibilities of that which, you know, you could experience, but you think, well, you know, just routine is, everybody always does this for me. Well, these are the kind of things that are the difference between staring at the obvious, what's right in your face, right in your path, the things that are going on today, the things that you can look back on your experience yesterday and pretty well come up with how it's going to go tomorrow because of what you're experiencing today. And what you've done is you've used your imagination to basically hamstring yourself from experiencing God and every good thing that Jesus already did for you because of living that way where your past dictates your present and literally destroys your ability to have change in your future. And folks, what I've just talked about, I'm going to read the verse again, but this is how people live day in and day out with, in a sense, you could use the word no hope, because hope involves imagination. It says you stare and stare at the obvious, but you can't see the forest for the trees. This is a real good statement, isn't it?
Because well, it talks about what we're talking about.
The obvious for most people is the flesh or this world, the turmoil, the trouble.
It's so easy to fall into a pattern of living.
Yeah, habits, routines.
You know, it's the longer someone stays in like a program to eat healthy, lose weight, stop smoking, stop drinking, some kind of drug rehab place, the longer they're there, the higher the mathematical probability of success.
Right.
But when somebody just goes for 30 days or a month or two, those people they have like a 95% chance of failing. And the reason the longer you go or the longer you're in something, the better off, more likely you are to have a success is because it becomes your life. It becomes a new habit.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't wake up one morning and spend all day long in an Indian casino on a stool pushing buttons and losing your paycheck.
Sure.
You start off by going after work or on a Saturday night with friends.
Right.
And you have such a good time that you go every Saturday night. And then all of a sudden you decide that work is slow and you cut it off. Well, what are you doing? You're changing your life. You're altering what you believe to be your reality.
Right. Right.
Well, you have to do this to be a Christian. You have to alter your reality. You have to make changes to your life and the way you view yourself in the world.
That's why
it says there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world.
You could almost say that if you are a real Christian, you've already done this.
Well, you have to, because there has to be more to the statements of saved and reborn. When a Christian is saved, they're not saved from the world. They're saved from themselves and the life they were leading and what they believed to be real. I saved myself because now I think and live as a spirit and as a Christian.
Well, then that's part of, and we've talked about this forever, but that continues to be part of one of the major problems. People are not seeing that their salvation experience is becoming a brand new creature, a brand new person.
If you tell somebody that you're giving them a new puppy or a new cat, or well, you can't say give somebody a turkey. It's Thanksgiving because they just eat it, so that's not a good one. Why'd you even bring that up? That was stupid.
I don't know.
Come on, Jim, it's your show. Pay attention. But if you tell somebody that they got a new baby coming, well, then they know that this is a new person and everything is new to that baby.
Right.
Because they're new. They're born. Well, if you understand what saved is, well, reborn means exactly that. It's a fresh start from ground zero.
Yeah, brand new.
If you say you're saved and you're reborn, and if somebody can follow you around with a video camera and a piece of paper and a pencil, and they compare how you think and feel and how you live your life since you've quote unquote been saved and reborn, and it's not, and it's virtually no different than it was a year ago, you're not saved. You're not reborn. You're just chasing your own tail.
Yeah, well,
there's no progress there.
Sad to say that in most places of spiritual worship where people go, this is one of the major problems that we have, is that there's not enough absoluteness in even our salvation experience to see that what was is no longer, and what you are now has to do with everything about who Jesus is and your ability to identify with your life as a spiritual being in fellowship with God. This is something that's not taught. I remember hearing, many people that I've been around that have been in the ministry for a long time, one of them made this comment that the institutions, and this person was from years and years ago, he said institutions years and years ago used to be spiritual in nature. A lot of the Ivy schools were actually spiritual in nature as they started. But he said today, he said people are just intellectually taught at the expense of being having spiritual knowledge.
See, the word institution, where I grew up, that meant that was like the nut house. You know, where's Bob? Well, he's at the institution. He's up at the institution up north in Minnesota.
Right.
You know, right. It was always Minnesota, like everybody in a straitjacket that's, you know, eating cheese with a toothpick goes to the institution in Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah, as a little kid, they said, you want to go to Minnesota to a cattle sale? And I said, no! No, that's where the institution is.
Wonder how our Minnesota friends are doing tonight.
I'm sure they're gone. Hey, folks, if you want to text the show, we've got some texts we're going to read here, by the way, and we got some emails. The way you participated tonight's show, and we really like your participation, don't we? I mean, we can't get enough. If you want to text the show, the first word that you need to type in your text is the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. And then finish typing your text. And then the number that you send it to is an internet high-speed number. It's only 5 digits, 69302. So the first word in your text is grace. The number you send it to is 69302. If you want to send an email, because we love those as well, it's the name of the radio show.
Right.
No capital letters, no spaces, just the Abiding Presence at Gmail. G is in Grandma's Gravy, gravy on Thanksgiving for a lot of people. Do you have gravy on Thanksgiving?
I do.
Gmail.com. That's the Abiding Presence at Gmail.com. Okay, some of the texts we got. It says, your volume is low. And then the next one says, that's better. That must have been from the same person.
Sure.
Well, see, that's why we started the show over.
Right.
There's no volume. Then we got one that says, I like this one. It says, I think you should restart again just for fun.
Huh. Well, at least that person listened last week, didn't they?
Yeah, we don't know who it is. Well, see, we don't know who people are, and we don't. And then we got another that says, hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Love you guys. Struggling with healing for 10 months and frustrated. Ugh. What is wrong with me? ? Love Jim's teachings on YouTube. Well, a healing isn't a struggle. And if you actually believe that you've been struggling and you've been dealing in this with 10 months and you're frustrated, it's because You're trying to bring Christianity into the world, and what you need to do is take yourself into Christianity.
Yeah. That's probably one of the hardest things for people to grasp, although it's a really awesome thought if you can think about that. It's as though you could say it this way: instead of trying to bring God down into your flesh, go ahead and let your new person that you are, your spirit being, you are a spirit, go ahead and ascend. In fact, Paul even talks about things like that. He says that we've been raised up to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, Paul's not talking about someday when we get to heaven. He's talking about right now. When you were born again, when you received Christ, you were born of the Spirit, and positionally, you are in him, and he's seated at the right hand of God. In other words, you already have that position of your spirit with him. Let yourself experience God that way instead of trying to pull God down into your flesh.
See what you did by mentioning that? It says, okay, that's it. We're moving. Dave and Barb in Minnesota. See what you did? This is your fault.
No,
it's your show.
You're the one that knows about Minnesota and having some institutions.
Look, I'm just a poor, innocent little horseman in a barn trying to scratch out a living in the big, mean world.
Dave and Barb, I couldn't control that if I tried. You know, it is what it is.
Okay, you remember last week a guy named Phil in Australia, and I says, how in the world did he find the show?
Yeah, we asked him that.
He sent us an email yesterday.
Good.
It says, hi, Jim and BJ, this is Phil from Australia. In response to your question about how I found your radio show, I've always enjoyed hearing testimonies about the power of God, and I discovered you on YouTube. He must be talking about you. And it says, which in turn led me to the radio show. I've been on quite a few mission trips to Asia and regular minister to people locally in shopping centers, markets, and on the street. Many have been healed by the grace of God. Your show has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to go for more. Thanks again, guys. I'm looking forward to hearing your next broadcast and have been telling others to tune in too. Phil from, he's in Melbourne, Australia.
Well, what time would it be now? Do you know? Have any idea?
Yeah, I think in Australia right now, let's see, it's 25 to 9 here in the barn in Oklahoma. So I'm thinking it's maybe 12. It would be like 12:35, 1:35 Monday afternoon. It's dinner time.
You know,
it's either dinner time or right after dinner time. People are at work on their lunch breaks.
Okay. Well, Phil, if you're listening,
within an hour.
If you're listening and are near a computer where you can email us, or that would be the way from Australia. But anyhow, I was going to say text, but let us know what you think of the show as far as what's different about this show. Phil, that's what I'd like to know. If you could write it in, what's different about this show from what you normally listen to?
Okay. That's a good. We've never asked anybody that before.
I don't think we have.
We should ask everybody that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you include everybody? Like always, you didn't bring enough for the entire class, did you, little Jimmy?
Do you know what? I didn't bring anything tonight.
No, I had to provide it.
Yeah, well, what did you provide? A bunch of colored chemicals.
Hey, let me tell you something. We both admitted that this...
They actually smell very good.
These are called... what are they called? They're called peach gummy candy. And when we opened it, it smelled like peaches.
Yeah.
And they're kind of shaped like a little heart.
I wonder how long the scientists worked on that to get them to smell like peaches.
Well, I know there's nothing real in these things, but they sure taste good.
No, there's nothing real.
You know, I bet you at least a half a dozen lab rats died.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Testing these peach gummy bears.
Hey, have you ever been to the post office lately?
No, how to go.
There might be all kinds of wonderful things there.
Probably should, huh?
Yeah.
I just thought of something. I bet they could hear me eating that, didn't they?
Oh, I could hear it.
Did it sound like a cow?
Yeah.
Okay, we got another email here. It says, hi, Ranger, Jim, and BJ. Ranger's first, as should be. Hi, Ranger.
Hey, I made it back up to second.
What do you say? Ranger, what do you say? Here's your microphone. What do you say?
She's not talking yet. It's not time.
Isn't that weird?
She's not hungry.
I don't know what the deal is, but she's not. Ranger, bark. What do you say? Come on, Ranger. Come on, what do you say? There we go. Boy, she's kind of drowsy. Yeah. She had a hard day. We're outside doing firewood all day. Really enjoy the show, and I'm learning some great things. Could you please talk about grace and marriage? Specifically, when both people are not growing to the same degree. You say that it's a personal choice to continue growing, and it's up to us how far we take it. I agree. Although it's my desire for us to be growing together, I believe that's what God wants as well. I know that I cannot be responsible for anyone else's relationship with God, but I believe there is more grace available for this relationship that I haven't been using. So how do I use more grace at home and in my marriage? Really enjoy Ranger being part of the show. We have a lab also, and he is definitely part of our family.
That's nice.
Yep. Ranger's a chocolate lab. It says, happy Thanksgiving. Okay, well, you're the married guy in the barn.
Two parts to that I'll say is, number one, it seems like you've maybe listened to some of the show, or maybe you got this on your own. It doesn't matter. The fact that you recognize that you have to move forward personally yourself is extremely important. And with that in mind, one of the greatest ways that you're going to contribute to your marriage is the more real your relationship is with God and the greater testimonies that you have, the better testimony you'll be to your married partner as far as God's validity, how real he is. And then number two, you're going to have to use grace all the time to deny the opportunity to buy into any nonsense that usually is a part of being with somebody on a regular basis, meaning this, just words, the way that you receive words. And that's something that Aaron and I, we talk about a lot, because it's real easy for me to look in because I see things different than she sees as far as the way she might say something, the way that I see it. And we continue to have to work on that, where she sees the best in me and I see the best in her, where you're not giving in to letting something bother you. Why would you? Most of the things that we let bother us in a marriage have nothing to do with our spiritual relationship with God. So in my estimation, two things. One, spiritually move forward yourself, because your testimonies will be the greatest evidence of God's realness in your own personal life and a testimony to your spouse. And number two, learn how to let grace shield you from yielding to all kinds of flesh, which always hinders your relationship.
Well, I've never been married, so obviously I can't talk about that, but I can talk about a couple, a pair. In my world, the world of horses, nothing is more precious than a team of horses, a matched set of horses. One is fast and can set a pace and keep it. One of the horses is strong and can take off with a hard pull and maintain a strength going uphill and be able to slow going downhill. Well, these two horses are literally joined by wood and leather and steel, and they're side by side, and yet they work in concert together. And the longer they work together, the more they anticipate each other, and they know that they can rely on one's strength and the other one's speed.
Mm-hmm.
And it flows together to pull whatever someone chooses to pull, because that is a team.
Okay.
I think I would apply that to Christianity in a couple. That you have a choice, and the relationship that you have with the guys is personal. It's only yours, and how far or how not far it goes is up to you. But yet at the same time, that individualism opens up a door to amazing testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
Because as each person advances on their own, in their own relationship with Christ, it opens up the door to amazing conversations and communication of testimonies on not only how they interpret Scripture, but how they put it to use and how they benefit. It's an opportunity for each person to help each other. Now, that's the way I think it should be. But that's not the real world of living in the flesh in the world.
Right.
No matter how much you tug and pull and push, connive, trick, or beg or plead, you can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. And the only thing that you can do is to have such an amazing, joyful, positive life. Every day is great and things always go your way, because sooner or later your partner's going to say, why is my life a living hell and why is every day for you just things seem to work out? And then you say, well, I've tried to tell you before, but you wouldn't listen. It's about grace, it's about God, and if you would just shut up, sit down, and give it a try, maybe you wouldn't be living in a hell every day. Because if you don't have something tangible to back up what you believe to be true, why would anybody believe it or try it?
Right, right.
We just got a text that says, how do you ascend to God versus pulling him down as you spoke of regarding healing? It says, thanks.
How do you ascend to?
How do you ascend?
Oh, I think you're talking about
to God
instead
versus
of, instead of trying to get God to come down to the flesh.
Yeah, it says God versus pulling him down as you spoke of regarding healing.
Well, I guess that has to do with really perspective.
Yeah,
and how you're seeing yourself as far as the world's concerned, and viewing your flesh as far as the present is concerned, versus seeing yourself after the Spirit. We made a comment last week. It was a good comment, and we made it before. Healing would be easy if it weren't for the body.
Well,
and the moment you begin to see things as a spirit, that's when you begin to make, that's where your spiritual connection is.
Yeah. It's all about perspective, isn't it, Jim?
It has to be.
I mean, the whole reason for your radio show, the whole reason for Christianity, the whole reason why there are so many Pete's and repeats in the Bible.
Right.
You know, what are those four books that I'm always telling you they're exactly, what is it? It's Huey, Dave, Jim, and
Huey, Dewey, Louie, and
Steve.
Steve.
Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Steve, those four books.
Right.
That are actually what?
They're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
I was close. But that's literally four different perspectives of four guys that are walking around with Jesus.
Yeah. And what was Jesus doing? He was constantly tweaking the thinking of individuals to get out of a warped sense of flesh and this world.
And at the same time here, to show how this all fits, you have four guys that are following Jesus around, that are literally writing about the exact same thing at the exact same time, but it's their personal perception. And at the same time, God is saying, okay, you can see. And the guy says, well, I can't see. And he says, just walk home and you will. Which
right.
goes back to what we started about, living in the future of grace.
Yeah, in fact, I've got that as a, I'm right here on my computer. Let me just pull it up. It's right here, Bartimaeus. It says, now they came to Jericho, and this is Mark chapter 10, 46. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Well, BJ, I'm going to just make an observation here. I think you'll like this, but remember how we're talking about perspective? And it says here that, and when he heard, because the guy's blind, so he's got his ears, he's listening
right.
with his ears. He can tell that there's a great commotion going on, so he obviously says something to someone, what's going on? It says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Jesus of Nazareth is what? A guy named Jesus from a town called Nazareth. It says, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. See, it's perspective. How come he's the only one that got healed, and how come no one else got healed, and that they were as curious as he was? Because they didn't see Jesus as the Son of David or the Son of God.
No,
they
just
didn't see that Jesus had any power or anointing or grace on him.
Here's another guy from out of town.
He's another guy that everybody's curious about. Let's go see what this guy's all about. And so all of them were, none of them, you could say it this way, none of them received anything. But Bartimaeus did because he saw something beyond what was of this world. This is like everything we're saying tonight. Is your life literally surrounded and immersed in nothing but this world and your present-day flesh circumstances? Because 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." And a better way of saying it is, we walk by the senses of our spirit, not by the senses of our flesh. And this is what this is saying here. And when finally he came to Jesus, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "That I may receive my sight." And that's when he told him, "Go home." He didn't say, "Stand there, and when you can see, follow me." He said, "Go home." Why would Jesus say that if Jesus didn't expect that there was something of this other world realm that had significance? It has everything to do with the future, doesn't it?
It does. Got another email, came in 4 hours ago. It says, "Jim and BJ, I have a question about spending time with God. I notice some people picture themselves in their head being in heaven or being in a room where angels bring out new body parts if they are trying to get healed. Other people say that they had been caught up third heaven. My question is this, how do I know I'm just picturing this stuff in my head or if I'm really actually spending time with God and I'm enjoying his presence?"
Well, first thing I'm going to say to that is this. Why would you allow someone else, if they had a valid experience like that, why would you allow their experience to be your indicator of whether or not you're experiencing God? That's part of the problem of why you're asking the question, because you're letting someone else's vision, what they saw,
yeah,
be the reason why you're doubting that you actually have something special yourself.
And the fact that you're not sure if it's heaven, the fact that you're not sure that you're with the guys, means you're not. I'm here to tell you, I've never met one single person or talked to anyone that didn't spend even a second with the guys that didn't know it instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I can't describe it because it, my description would have nothing to do with anybody else's, but if it, you just know. And if you're not sure and you got to think about it, well then, that just is an indicator that it wasn't. It's that absolute. I mean, there's no way in the world the guys would just glance at you or just say boo and be gone and say, "Oh, who said boo?" It, you know, it's not, you just, grace doesn't do that. It just flows through you like falling into a swimming pool.
Okay, so for what you just said and for the individual that's asking the question, then we could also come behind it and say this. So then take what you just heard and get yourself back to square one where you're simple again. Get out of your head, get yourself back to where you're simple again and recognize, why in the world wouldn't you have a relationship with God if you loved Jesus and opened up your heart to the Lord? Why wouldn't he be there? He is there.
Yeah.
And as easily as you can one click away be wondering whether or not it's God or it's not God, do I have him or do I don't, just as easily one more click toward him and you go, "Well, of course it's you, Lord. Why would I have ever doubted that it was?" So keep it simple.
The next email, it says, "Hi, BJ and Jim. I hope this doesn't come across as disrespectful, but I would like to ask you both these two questions. Do either of you carry health insurance? Can you explain why you do or don't? I'm surmising your age to be beyond 35 when most people find themselves in need of wearing glasses of some sort of magnification. Do either of you wear glasses?" I'll go first. Number one, I don't have health insurance. I've never had health insurance. I never will have health insurance. No, I do not wear glasses. I have 20/20 vision. My hearing is good. and I'm past 35 and I've never had a cavity, never had chicken pox, mumps, measles, any of those childhood things. I'm not allergic to poison ivy or poison oak or poison sumac. Not allergic to any type of bee stings.
You're just allergic to people.
Yeah, yeah. And I really don't even care if there's a vaccine. Uh-oh. I just sneezed. You know what that means?
I don't know.
Coyotes. I'm allergic to coyotes. Oh, look, even Ranger's up. She knows. Yeah, when I that's the only thing. When I sneeze, there's a coyote close to the barn.
Okay, is it my turn?
I haven't had a head cold in, I don't know, 8, 9 years maybe. No hay fever. Yeah. So I think insurance was always a waste of money because I've always been okay. And also, now that I met the guys, the money that I would spend monthly on health insurance because I'm self-employed would be $300 or $400. And this time of year, there are a lot of good deals on chocolate-covered pretzels, peanut brittle. Do you know how much fun I can go to the grocery store and buy holiday snacks with $300-$400?
I'm sure it's
why would I want to give that to an insurance company?
So, okay, it's my turn. So, no, I don't have insurance, and I don't have the same past history that BJ had. Mine goes back to all kinds of problems that I had when I was younger with a certain disease that I had in my intestines, and had an operation on that when I was like 20 years old, and then 10 years ago had some terrible problems with my intestines and ended up, this is so sad, and this is after I'd preached at healing school, saw so many people healed, and this is the reason why we're even having a show, is because it took me to come basically to the end of myself to cry out to God and say, I'm not doing this anymore, just laying hands on other people. If I can't see my own personal life doing better than where I'm at, seeing prayers answered and moving forward. And so I had had surgeries, and the interesting thing was, is definitely did get healed, and then went the next time, had another same incident as the first time, and then went to the doctor the second time, which is really ridiculous that you'd be touched by God and then you'd go to the doctor. So that just shows you how much I was swimming in what you might call compromise, the way that we've done church, which isn't real church at all, where you just bring the world into every single situation and you water it down until nothing really works. And so I'm a byproduct of that. Where, as far as my eyes are concerned, grew up with really bad eyes, wore glasses, contacts. Finally, about probably 12 years ago, had that laser surgery done to my eyes. So I don't wear anything now. My eyes are fine. But so I'm the opposite type of situation, where I'm climbing out of the hole that we've dug for ourselves that probably is like the majority of you out there.
We got an email. It's from Phil in Australia. I was right. It's Wednesday afternoon, just after dinner. He said it was 1:45. So there, let's see, 1:45 and 9:45. You take 37, subtract 4, divide by 5, then times 2, and then subtract 1.5. 17 hours difference. New math.
I was going to say 17 before you got there.
I wanted to give people the equation.
Okay.
Jeez, you got to tell people things. You just can't blurt something out there like that. Okay, we got...
what did Phil say?
He was just saying what time it was in Melbourne.
I thought he might be giving us the answer to the question we asked.
Oh, he says, there is more. He says, before I was interrupted, your show is different to others because BJ uses non-religious terms and analogies. That's the best compliment I've ever had. Right there. There you go. I'm going to read that again. Your show is different to others because BJ uses non-religious terms and analogies. I would hate to be thought of as religious. Thank you so much. It says, I love his absoluteness too. There's no gray areas and all the message is simple. When it comes to praying for others, I find it easy, but sometimes it's hard to get instant results for myself. Everybody finds that when they're, it's just part of the equation of, right. of being absolute. Okay, here, you know Nick, the forklift driver?
Yes, in North Carolina.
Okay, he basically saying hello to everybody that contacts the show. He's saying, Nick in North Carolina tuning in, hello to Jim, BJ Ranger, the horses, the barn cats, Mr. Creamy and the Creamettes. Well, that's Sherwood up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Right.
We're going to have him on the show again. The kitchen counter folks. The big family that's spread around the country. Well, he's talking about
Sue and Livermore
and the grandparents at Morgan Hill. Joseph and Charlotte and anyone I missed. Well, Nick the forklift driver, that's his name.
Yep.
Nick the forklift driver. And that's his name. He's saying hello to everybody listening to the show tonight. All right, we got another one here. It says, blessing, fellas. Tuned in and totally enjoyed the new instrumental music at the beginning of the show. That had to be one of Brother Jim's classics. Actually, I just push buttons. I just look for something that allows me to make sure that things are working. That's how I knew that the show wasn't working because everything was so low. Okay, it says, Jim and BJ. Hey, I like this. This came in 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
First time listener.
Good, good. Where from?
Welcome. Well, I'm getting there. Just here. Have another snack. It says, Jim and BJ, first time listener here in North Carolina. Jim got us started on the new covenant thinking in 2009 when he preached at a church in Clemens, North Carolina. You know where that is?
Yes.
It says, this totally revolutionized my relationship with God. Compared to my religious upbringing, which was a hybrid of old and new covenants. Do you know what he's talking about?
Yep.
You two have now taken that to a higher level with your focus on grace. We are loving the journey. I'm working my way through your archives and really like the format. You can cover a topic completely, even though you get texts and emails that are on multiple topics. You have a way of bringing your conversation back to the topic, usually grace. Imagine that. Looking forward to meeting you both in person, and his name is Tim. And, well, see, we like emails and texts. We're only in the barn once a week on Tuesday nights. We want people to ask or say whatever they want.
Yeah, I'm going to be back out in North Carolina in February, in Winston, North Carolina.
I don't see any reason why people's emails and text messages have to be on topic when you, Jim, go off on these wild tangents.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
At the drop of a hat.
Right. Well, why don't I give you a scripture and get back on topic here?
I got an email. Okay. It says, hi, fellas. You asked some of the differences were with your show and others. You two have never asked the audience for donations.
No, we haven't. We're not going to either.
No. It says, while I was listening, thanks for what you do. And this is from Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Tampa, Florida. Oh, here we go. Formerly from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Right.
Well, no. We did have a really nice couple in Oklahoma that for more than just a few months, they sent us checks every month for $100, and I used it to pay the monthly text messaging fee, because it costs around $100 a month for the text messaging service.
Yeah, and there's some different ones that have given a little here and there that we can use. I use like when I pay for the monthly for the show.
And
which helps cover that. But we made that before we ever went on air.
Yeah, I told you. Yeah.
We made that an agreement between both of us that
I told, yeah.
It just was never going to be about money. We were never going to mention it.
It was a very simple conversation. I said, a radio show will make you rich and famous, but I'll never talk on it. I'll just design it, build it, and produce it and make it go. I says, but if you want to do a show about grace and it has nothing to do with money, then I'll occasionally speak up.
Oh yeah,
like I think I've been true to form. Yeah. I occasionally just add a little snippet?
Well, like I tell people wherever I go, I said, you know, I pay for the show. It's got my name on it, but BJ lets me talk every once in a while.
That's so funny. Do you really say that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. That's why I get all those emails that say, "He's BJ, the things he says about you." Oh, Forklift Nick has sent us a text that says, "Grew up at the church in Clemens. I might even know Tim." Now he's saying hi to Tim.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. Now we got one here. It says, hold on. It says, "Hi, Ranger, BJ, and Jim." I like it when Ranger takes top billing. Well, your dogs, you have two dogs, Mitch and Muffy.
Yep.
I just love listening to you guys. You have helped me grow in spirit. I wake up every morning with a smile on my face before I even get out of bed. I thank the guys for the awesome day set before me, and I ask them the question, what is grace going to do for me today? I talk to them all day long. Thank you so much for this show. I don't have health insurance either, and I will not in the future. I have the guys in grace, and that is my insurance. And you know who this is from? Lily the Lumber Lady. Construction girl, the lady that used to work at a lumber yard.
Where's Lily from? Do you remember?
You know, she said one time, and I forget.
Wouldn't be Louisiana, would it?
I don't know, but I bet she'll email us and tell us. Okay, we got one here. It says, hi. Oh, it says hi. Kitchen counter couple saying hi to all, and Nick, the forklift driver. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is a happy Thanksgiving from the kitchen counter people. They're saying hello to everybody, and they're saying hello to Nick, the forklift driver.
Now, they're from Minnesota, aren't
Minnesota.
They?
Minnesota, yeah. And the internet, I don't think they're texting because I think when they text, it doesn't go through because I talked to the texting company this week, and it's about money. They want so much money, and the cell phone provider only wants to pay so much money. I know AT&T works, and who are you with?
AT&T.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
Huh. If you want to text the show, the first word is grace, and then you send it to the number 69302. If you want to send an email, you send it to the name of the show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com.
All right. Well, I've got a scripture here that I'll read to you and then make some comments about that will help us to go a little further in the discussion that we're having tonight. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Actually, I'll read verse 9 first. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I shall do all my pleasure." All right. Notice in there where it says, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done. So what does that say? But that God, obviously, and this isn't a difficult thought for most people to accept that believe in God, but that God obviously knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's going on tomorrow before we ever get to tomorrow. Because in reality, if you think about it, if God is the beginning and the end, and he encompasses all eternity, which is what Isaiah says, then why wouldn't God, it be as real for the future to God as it is for us in the present or the past? Because all the time frames have to be the same for him. In fact, there's a scripture over in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16 that talks about Ezekiel having a vision and seeing a wheel within the middle of a wheel. I actually like that because to me it looks like a bicycle wheel. And you've got the hub on the inside and then you've got the spokes that come out from the hub and they attach to the outer wheel or the rim and then the wheel is on the outside. So if you think about that, think and see it this way. God is the hub and he revolves around every time frame. And you could say it like this, every time frame is attached to God, which means wherever you are on the outer wheel, that's your time frame right here and right now. And your future is something God's already attached to, just as much as he's attached to the past. And I'm only bringing this up because it really can help you to see that why would we consider at all that there's a difficulty about our future or God's not prepared for you to expect him to be who he is in your future, to step beyond yourself and experience Him if God's already been to your future before you get there. Because there has to be the audacity to believe in something you can't see that is more real than what you can. And everything about Scripture seems to point that out. And Jesus always seems to make people respond as though the future is beautiful, right in the midst of it looking like their present is really bad.
Well, unless they have a clear thought and a clear heart. You know, there is a recipe. The recipe is simple, and it's outlined in the book somewhere where it talks about, and we refer to it all the time because it's really the best recipe to understand how to connect with Christ. And that is, it talks about if you're going to steal, cut your hand off. If you're thinking about saying something bad, cut your tongue out. If you're going to look at somebody with an accusing eye, poke your eye out. Well, obviously, that means that if you have feelings and emotions that are going to make you say, look, or do something that is unchristian-like, get rid of that part of your body. Well, right then, think about this. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world, which means that if it's not about your body, but yet your body is part of the world, and if your body is going to involve you in something in the world that is unchristian-like, cut it off, poke it out, or get rid of it. It shows you that you need to think about something other than the world you live in.
Right.
You have to step out of your body, out of your house. You have to get away from this radio show. And you need to focus on the fact that you were born with a gift that you just are not taking advantage of. And the only way to do that is to literally disconnect from what you think to be real. Because it's like oil and water. Heaven and the earth don't mix.
Right, right.
And you can't be a human being and a spirit being at the same time. You have to choose what you're going to be.
Yeah, I think that's the absoluteness that really causes people to really struggle.
It's a struggle for so many because they don't have anything in their life that's really that absolute.
Right.
And I mean, I hate to say it, but there really isn't very much. I mean, if you lose your job and you lose your house and your car is repossessed and your family is scattered to the wind like leaves in a winter's breeze, somebody somewhere is going to give you a blanket and a cheese sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody that's going to take care of the homeless somewhere. You may not like it, but I mean, there's something out there. Okay. If you don't like who you're married to, get a divorce, marry somebody else. If you do something wrong, there's probation, there's parole. If you get so many traffic tickets, a lot of states, you can go to a driving school and the traffic tickets are off of your record. If you're a drunk driver or you are a terrible driver and you have tickets and accidents, well, you can still get insurance. It just costs a lot more.
Right.
There's nothing definitive anymore in somebody's life. If you lose your job, you have unemployment. If you get hurt, there's workman's comp. I mean, there's just so many parachutes. And there are so many comfortable things that can occur when failure happens. There's really no mindset not to fail.
Right, right.
Because if you go to a building somewhere or a structure, some religious worship place that's wasting your money and your time, they're just going to tell you to come back more, join more groups, give us more money, and pray more. Because that's all they have to offer. And that's because they're more connected to the world than they're connected to Christianity. And if you apply that worldly to religious organizations, then why can't you just make it a singular application to yourself? Where's your energy going?
Right.
Where is your thought process? Are you feeling like there's a God? Are you thinking like you're a Christian? Because if you feel and think that way, then that's the way you will act.
Yep.
And if you're thinking, feeling, and acting that way, grace will be with you.
Right.
And you won't have questions like, was it God or not? Is it live or is it Memorex? You'll know.
Right. Yeah, that's good. You know, our subject tonight about the future, and I've got another verse of scripture up here that I think will help everyone. It's Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. This is talking about Moses and being at the Jordan River with the children of Israel and wanting to cross over into the promised land. And the children of Israel were giving him a hard time because, of course, they gave him a hard time from the very moment they left Egypt. They constantly complained. Everything was about their flesh. Everything was about their world, them being in any way inconvenienced. And yet they came out of slavery and they still complained and complained. No one was grateful. And so we come to verse 3 and it says, "For we who have believed do enter the rest. As he said, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter the rest." Talking about the children of Israel that were complaining. "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." And that one phrase is very telling because it helps you to see, again, if God knows the end from the beginning and the things that haven't even happened yet, he's already been there, experienced them, then notice what it says here. The children of Israel had all kinds of grace and ability waiting on them in the promised land, but they forsook their ability to experience it because they gave their allegiance to what they could see, what they could feel. The problems that they believed that were in front of them that they didn't even yet experience. So put all this together, and what I'm trying to do here tonight in the midst of all that we're saying is help you to have a reason for wanting to step beyond yourself, to have a reason to want to trust God for something you've never trusted him before, to know that your leg is perfectly fine. Why wouldn't it work if you stepped out and began to act like you are as a spirit being? Healed and whole, and dismiss the idea that there has to be something wrong. Why wouldn't all kinds of temporary physical problems that people see in this present world, why wouldn't they be dismissed if Jesus has already finished the work? And I'm giving you some fuel to the fire for the reason why you can begin to get, if you will, almost dangerous with your faith and dangerous with the grace of God, where you're no longer trying to protect what you think won't work. You've got yourself prepared for success. You know, BG, I think there's a lot to this statement that people are more afraid of success than they are failure because failure has been so commonplace.
Well, it's familiar. I mean, it's rampant in people. It goes to habits. I mean, people always say they don't understand why somebody stays in a violent, abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the hell they know isn't as frightening as the hell they don't know. If they leave, the next person might be worse, and it might get worse.
Right.
But I can deal with this, and I'm used to it, and I can function, so I better just stay here. It's the same reason when people thought the world was flat, they only sailed so far. They didn't want to fall off the earth.
Yeah. This has something to do also with a subject you and I talked about just yesterday when you were talking on that trip that you took, and it goes back to the idea that most people want to be thankful for what has happened,
yeah,
instead of being thankful for what they know will happen.
Well, I mean, honestly, how many people have you ever met or that you know or related to that really they just can't let go? The littlest thing becomes an issue. And 3 or 4 months goes by, and they bring it up again. Whatever it is. I know people that are still arguing about something for years. Every once in a while it just comes up, and they have the same fight.
Yeah.
About something that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
It's really hard to live in the moment of Christianity when you're logging all of your life living in the flesh in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have much fun, and there's really no room for grace when you're too busy taking up all the room with the day-to-day stuff of this world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's like a cloud on a sunny day, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're creating the cloud.
Yeah.
And people are comfortable with it. And the reason they're comfortable with it is because that's all they know. It's like a chair that you've been sitting in for years. And somebody comes to you, and you have a bad back, and somebody you know is a chiropractor, and they come to your house, and they tell you that the reason you have a sore back is because the chair you're sitting in, the springs are broke, the cushion is smashed, and for your posture, it's causing you a sore back. Well, you buy a new chair, but the new chair isn't as comfortable. You sit up high, it seems firm, it doesn't seem to just sink down in it like your old chair.
Right.
And you say, well, this isn't as good as my old chair. And somebody will say, well, yeah, but this is good for your posture, for your spinal column. And you'll say, well, I want my old chair back. But that's what was causing the problem. Well, I don't care, but it's what I'm used to.
Right.
It's what feels good. I've been doing it, sitting in it for years. Now take chair out and put in religious practices. Where you worship, how you worship, what you believe. I think that is a direct correlation to people all over the planet.
Yeah, I do too. In fact, I have something here to read in the book of Jonah. And you remember Jonah and the whale? Remember that? Hearing about that or no?
Yeah.
Okay, a fish that swallowed Jonah. Remember that?
Tuna. It was a big tuna.
Yeah, it was a big tuna. And this is really good because it highlights exactly what BJ just got through talking about. So if I were to read in verse 5, it says, "The waters surrounded me, even to my soul." This is when he's in the fish. "The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head." You can imagine sitting there in some big fish and he's got seaweed all around, wrapped around his head. "I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O my Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me," listen to what he's saying, "I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Now listen to what he said in his prayer was. "Those who regard lying vanities." Now notice what he calls a lying vanity. He calls a lying vanity the whale, the belly of the whale that he's sitting in. He said, "Those who regard lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So notice what he did. I mean, right in the midst of being in the whale, he said, if I'm to give myself to this situation, what I call a lying vanity, he said, I will forsake God's mercy. So I'm going to offer up thanksgiving. And that's when God told the fish, go ahead and spit them up.
Well, and also, look at Abraham. He was right. I mean, he was so close to slicing and dicing his kid. Because he had such conviction in his belief.
Right.
That he knew that this must be the thing to do.
Right.
You can have a really nice life and have a lot of nice fortune and a lot of good relationships and never know what real conviction is. You can grow old and people say, well, they've had a good life and they're a great person.
Sure.
And never you couldn't recognize conviction with a compass and a flashlight.
Yeah. especially if you're just going to get along and go along.
If you're just going to get along and go along and enjoy life and not rock the boat and not be responsible for any decisions, no accountability, no responsibility, yes, you can do that. And you can still go somewhere and worship and sing songs and pray and help them out at the bake sales and car wash. Are you a Christian? No. Because there's no absolute conviction. There's no change of direction. There's no repenting.
Yeah.
There's no humbling. Humbling and repenting are like the chicken and the egg. It really doesn't matter which one came first because they're connected together. We got an email here, Lily the lumber lady is from Mondovi, Wisconsin. She says she's one of the creamettes.
Oh, okay.
And she said, are you going to be there in 26 days?
I am.
We need to get him on the show next week. And then we'll have him on the show after you've been there so he can, you know, talk about if there was a mess or anything. We got an email here. It says, a question, please. What gift are you saying we are born with? I have been taught we only get the gift, salvation, when we are born again, and that takes accepting Christ. Sorry, I'm just a little confused. Thanks. It's from somebody named Mike.
Well, every individual that's born into the world, I guess people could argue about this, but everyone that's born into the world, when you're a baby, even though you're born from sinful parents, the age of accountability comes when an individual dies, when an individual has to choose whether or not they're going to choose God or not. So a child, God doesn't lose any babies, because every person that's born into the world, the moment you're born into the world, the innocence of your of being a baby, there's grace on your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll walk in it. Most people don't. 99% of the people don't. But there are a few, and Jesus talked about a few, that would find that narrow road where they would accept him. And by accepting him, come face to face with God's grace and be changed on the inside. Your inner man changed into his very likeness, where you'd be reborn, saved, and then reborn. And walk out your life just like Jesus did as a Christian, experiencing him. So that's my answer to that.
We got a text that came in a little while ago. It says, BJ began the program with you with why you are discussing this topic was because of an incident in town. Please finish the story. I didn't finish?
Oh.
I guess I didn't.
Yeah, no, you didn't. You didn't tell about the truck and getting out into traffic.
Oh, okay. Here's what the deal was. I lost a couple of keys to some important equipment here on the ranch. Couldn't find them, wasn't worth looking for them. And I thought, well, I'm just going to try to get to town before the locksmith closes to get some keys made so this never happens again. And I thought, I don't even know why I'm bothering. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm never going to get there in time. I really don't even want to go. I'll just go tomorrow when there is no traffic. There's all kinds of people out. And I'm just whining and saying I'm not going to go. Well, then all of a sudden the guys decide, no, that I should go. So I get in the truck. Me and Ranger, we head to town. Everything is fine. And I get to the locksmith. And it says 5 o'clock. And it's 25 after 5. And I go up and I says, well, the guys want me here, so I better try the door. And the door's locked at the locksmith store. And I start to walk away, and this guy opens up the door, and he says, hey, cowboy, he says, you need something? And I go, yeah, I really just need something. And I was just thinking to myself, well, how stupid. They wanted me to come here, so the locked door isn't going to matter. And I says, well, I thought you were closed. And he says, well, it's the strangest thing. Normally, I go home at 5 or 5 minutes before. But tonight, I just had this feeling I should stay and just kind of hang out for a while and catch up on some of my paperwork. And he says, it's actually been a blessing for me to stay because I figured something out on my paperwork and I saved my, you know, and he's going into this and I go, well, great, there you go. He says it's a blessing, you know, so he's one of those kind. And so I says, well, thanks. He says, oh, come on in. So I have him make me, I spent $30, so you know how many keys I had made.
Right.
I bought some little keychains, and I just, you know, I said, this guy's staying after for me, and you know how I am about small right. businesses.
Right.
So, you know, I spend $30. He says, oh, wow, thank you. And so I leave the place. I want to go south. And I have to cross the northbound lanes to go to the southbound lanes. And there are cars for mile in Tulsa. It's one of the main streets in town. It's just wall-to-wall commuter traffic. Because now it's like 5:45, almost 6 o'clock. So I looked at Ranger and I says, well, the guys wanted me here. I don't know what this is for. Well, if you guys wanted me here, then I'm really glad that you're going to figure out how in the world I'm going to get this fat-butted truck out in all these Japanese cars that are bumper to bumper. And before I could even finish that, there's this huge gap opened up. And there's no traffic coming towards me because it's a red light.
Right.
I mean, I could have parked a semi-truck in that space. I pull in that space, and as soon as I get in that space, I look at Ranger, and I says, well, we better thank him, Ranger. So Ranger barks, when Ranger barks sometimes, I say, say hi, Ranger, and she barks, I'll go, whoa, whoa, you know, I'll bark to, crack, you know. People think I should be institutionalized in Minnesota.
You might need to go to Minnesota.
BJ has to go to Minnesota. So anyways, the gap closes, and then it dawned on me. I says, well, I got it. And what I do, I called you. And I said, people aren't doing it right. And then I said, you know, I was thanking them for getting this truck headed home, and I wasn't even out of the parking lot.
Right.
And there was a gap. Grace provided me a safe way. I mean, I could have walked. I could have pushed the pickup truck over there. There was so much time. And then we started talking about tonight, and I says, we need to help people to think ahead.
Right.
Not
right.
to worry about traffic and what time of day it is and if we're going to get through the road. No. Sit down, shut up, enjoy the ride of grace and say, thank you very much for getting this truck going back to the ranch.
Right, right.
And so that's the story.
Well, let me give you a scripture and ask you to fill
it?
In.
Okay.
I did. Fill in the blanks on this, okay, to see what you would say. And this is about Jesus. It says, then Jesus made the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, there it is right there, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Okay, so what kind of a prayer do you think that Jesus would have offered up? It says he gave thanks. In what way do you think he would have gave thanks about this before it happened?
Well, it's a guess, but I mean, look at what he did. He thanked his Father ahead of time.
Right.
Before anybody took a bite.
Right.
Knowing that his Father's love, otherwise known as grace, was going to provide for everyone.
Right.
And the
right.
testimony is not that Jesus was a part of it or that Jesus was even there. The testimony is that these people believed in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if there was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for one, there's going to be a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for all.
Right.
The testimony is in the productivity and the advancement of thanks for positive Christian things to come.
Right, right.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
And if you start looking at stories and parables and scripture in the Bible and think of it as in the future, you can see that almost the entire book is talking about progress.
Yeah.
Why people say God and Christianity has no boundaries, has no limits, and he's all powerful, but yet they're praying about something that's happening to them now or yesterday befuddles me. especially after last night,
right,
going to town.
Right.
Even more so.
Yeah, I think it could have been really easy for Jesus to have said something so simple as, well, Father, I know that everybody's going to eat and they're going to be full. In fact, there's even going to be left over because you're a God of abundance, and I thank you for it. In other words, putting the pressure on what he believes about God and what he knows to be so that hasn't even happened yet is actually the conviction in one's heart that's called, under the old way of saying things, in fact, it's still just as good as it was before, but people have somewhat kind of made this muddy, but it's just good old-hearted faith and conviction in the heart of a person. BJ mentioned Abraham a while back, and Abraham taking that knife to his son and God intervening and keeping him from having to kill his son. But Hebrews tells us that by faith, Abraham figured out in a figurative sense that God was going to have to raise Isaac up from the ashes, because he took what God said that was made through a covenant where God could not lie and would not lie, and which was that your descendant shall be, you shall be the father of many nations, and your descendant will give birth to nations of people. And here God wants Abraham to kill his son. Abraham figured it out just like a mathematical problem. For me, it would have needed to be addition or subtraction or multiplication or division. But maybe it was calculus. Who knows? But he figured this thing out on his journey, and he realized that I literally am going to go through this even if I have to kill my son, because God will have to raise him up out of the ashes. And every bit of his conviction is literally betting his life on the unseen reality of God before him, before he ever acted.
We got an email, and it said, and I like this one. It says, I like them all, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. This came in about 6 minutes ago. It says, one of the first times I listened to your show, I believe it had a direct influence on me. The next morning, I wrote a poem. I don't know if I was awake or asleep when it started coming to me, but I finished it when I was fully awake. Here it is. When morning breaks the midnight sky and the world is standing by, morning breath and pasty eye, what mystery now awaits my day as more of him I see revealed? It's Christ in me, the world to see, glory, glory, glory.
That's nice.
It says, thanks for influence in our lives. And this is from Leah Beth. She's in Statesville, North Carolina. Here we go, another connection. It says, we go to church with Nick, the forklift driver.
Well, that's good.
Everybody is connected. I like that.
Yeah.
And, oh, I wanted to give you an update on, remember Sarah, that Grace is doing such good things for her and the horses in South Korea, and we had her on the show?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I convinced her to get a Facebook page, and then I interviewed her on my radio show about horses. And it's taking off.
Really? That's awesome.
Oh, the barn's been worked on. A neighbor, an old man neighbor, came over and said, how about I bring over a huge piece of equipment and move some dirt and make a bigger area for you to ride your horses and for the horses to walk around.
Hmm.
So it's Grace Stables, and things are going very well for her. She does have a Facebook page. It's just that, Grace Stables.
Wow, that's good.
In South Korea, her name is Sarah. And anyway, so yeah, I was just thinking
I'm gonna
about
have
that.
To go to the find the page and see if she'll befriend me.
Well, I'm sure she would. She friended me.
Huh.
And what I want to do right now is, because it's Thanksgiving, I mean, there's no question about it, the numbers. The overwhelming majority of people that listen to your show, Jim, are located in the United States. And so it's appropriate that we talk about having a Thanksgiving, but it's been quite a while since I've done this. And oh, it says, hello, Leah Beth and Tad. I guess Tad must be with Leah Beth, and it says Nick.
Okay.
We could just do a whole show relaying messages for people.
Yeah, that's right.
What I want to do is I want to mention all the countries that listen to the show.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, the United States, Canada, The United Kingdom, the Republic of Korea, Japan, Australia, Brazil, Malaysia, Spain, Nigeria, Mexico, Trinidad and Tobago, New Zealand, Colombia, Saudi Arabia, Germany, Grenada, the Philippines, Ecuador, Russia, Norway, Netherlands, Denmark, Peru, People's Republic of China, France, Haiti, India, Switzerland, Romania, Thailand, Costa Rica, Vietnam, and the Republic of Slovak.
Wow.
So, you know what this means.
Is that about 30?
I didn't count.
Hmm.
I can real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. It's 34.
Wow. Including USA?
Including the USA. 34 countries in 2 years with no advertising, no promotion.
No.
That's grace.
Yeah.
We got an email. It says, hi, lost my internet connection when you started to read my question about the gift. Can you please email me a response if you don't want to repeat online? Well, we don't have to email you because the show streams 24 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
7 days a week, and then it goes to the archives.
Yeah.
Okay, Thursday here in the U.S. is Thanksgiving, major holiday. Are you going to be at the Hardesty Library tomorrow night?
The library hours change because of the holiday, so no.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they close at 6, so we won't be able to do it tomorrow.
So
we'll be back there on the 4th.
So the Hardesty Library celebrates Thanksgiving, but not by telling people you can't read.
Well, they're open till 6 o'clock. But
I might have twisted that a little
just
bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay, let's talk about what we've tried to accomplish tonight. We've tried to accomplish to get people to be more lighthearted and to be more positive.
Expect it.
About their future.
Yep.
To not dwell in the past. You know, one of the things that I've always found wrong with all these programs I watch on television is they always really use a couple of words like they're weapons. You're a sinner. We've done wrong. And we're leading a sinful life. That's a real emotional downer. I mean, there's really nothing really positive about that.
Right.
And I think that's not a real positive Christian philosophy to have. I mean, the most exciting thing about being a Christian is knowing that the problems and the dramas and the issues you have
right.
only exist because you acknowledge their importance.
Right, exactly.
That when you let go of them, you let go of the world. And when you let go of the world,
right.
then all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about grabbing onto grace because grace grabs you.
Yeah, right. That's the greatest concept that everyone needs to grab a hold of is what BJ just said right there. And then my verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 says, be unceasing in prayer. And verse 18 says, thank God in everything. No matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and meditator of that will. Notice, why would you be giving thanks in everything? It speaks of utter progress. It speaks of continual movement forward, that you're giving thanks for what God has done. You're giving thanks for what God is doing. You're constantly putting yourself in remembrance of grace everywhere and your reliance upon grace. Isn't that what it says when Solomon made the comment over in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Notice that trusting in God is bringing acknowledgement of God into everything. And this is why I believe Paul said, be thankful. This is the will of God.
Yeah, you know, look at Paul's writings. I like to refer to them because they tell such a story. Is so much of the time, his letters are almost like hate mail, poison pen letters. Because what he's trying to do is he's trying to let people know from a third person just how unhealthy and how sad their lives are and why things are going the way they are. And then he finishes off by reminding them, saying, remember when?
Right.
Remember when you were hanging out with Jesus? Remember when you were using grace and grace was using you?
Yeah.
We just got a text that came in. It says, experienced grace with my 3-year-old tonight. Instant healing. Welts on her body disappeared in minutes when I got tired of caring. Gave it to God. And then it says right, so we didn't get the rest of it. How cool is that?
No, perfect.
I wish they would have emailed it so we kind of got a story. But
yeah, Sherwood has a really great story for next week when he's on the radio show. Yeah, really good story of some healing and some things that took place that way. And so, you know, to everyone that's listening, I want to encourage you because during this time of year, as you know, for those of you who are respectful to God, on Thanksgiving, you're going to give thanks to the Lord for things that he's done. People will say things like, thank you. I want to thank God for my family. I want to thank God for my job. I want to thank God for... And all of those are wonderful, and that's great. But I want you to see that tonight, we haven't just been thanking God for the past. We're talking about having an expectant life that lives on the edge of experiencing God in your next word, your next movement, your next step, in the next moment, the next 10 moments. An expectancy that you can bet your life on the unseen realities of God, that grace really is there, that you can develop a wonderful relationship with God, and then begin to experience Him, that He doesn't have to be locked away in a closet until the next Sunday. He literally can be in your life all day long. In fact, when the image of God changes in your heart, it's kind of like somebody taking 100 photos. And as you looked at those 100 photos, you said, who's that guy in the photo? You said, well, that's God. Well, he's in every single one of your photos. Well, I know. That's because I'm thinking about him all the time. And I always give him thanks and praise for what he does. And I'm always talking to him. So he's hanging out with me all the time. He can't help but be in every photo. And then my question would be, if you didn't have God in your photo, because you're not thinking of Him, you're not involving Him, you're not acknowledging Him, you're not expectant of what God is doing in your life. You're just looking at what is taking place of this physical world. Then you might be sad and think, you know, God's really never in my photos. I know that's just a corny example, but I think it has relevance to what we're talking about, that God literally can be in every area of your life. And what we're sharing here today is the reason why people step beyond themselves to experience things that other people aren't experiencing because they won't.
I think that this broadcast or any other radio show that we've done on the archives, I think that this holiday weekend is a perfect opportunity for people to share testimony by having someone listen to the show that doesn't want to be preached to, doesn't want to be beat up and mugged with a Bible beaten on their head.
Right.
But maybe some of the people listening walk into a room and they say, well, you're in a good mood. What's different in your life? You know, and say, well, I could tell you, but you just roll your eyes.
Right.
And then you just let it go at that. And then they say, no, really, what's different? Say, well, I just want you to listen to something for a while and have an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what it'll do is this is an amazing testimony because two things will happen. Either the person will be receptive and they'll say, well, I've never heard people talk about God and the Bible and Christianity like this before. This isn't so bad. Well, then they'll see somebody's mind and heart opening up. So the testimony will say, this is real. They're getting it.
Yeah.
It works, which will motivate you to go farther.
Sure.
If you try to get someone to listen with you, and they listen for a while, and they say, well, they say some funny things, but it's just another Jesus thing. And,
right.
You know, I'm just not into that religious thing. I'm glad it works for you. Well, there's just as strong a testimony. It shows what an individual choice it is and how you can go through life as a nice person with things going relatively well, but yet have no idea what grace and the connection is. And once again, there's a testimony that motivates you to go farther in your own relationship.
Yeah.
One might be positive, one might be negative, but they both work in concert with each other to give you the tangibility of God that is tough to find.
Good. That's real good. Yep.
It's a way of motivating yourself by using your friends and relatives as a lab rat.
Yeah.
And if they've got to this part of the show where I've just called them a lab rat, it's probably been successful.
Yeah.
And you could just pat them on the head and say, thank you very much, Mickey Mouse.
Well, you know, what you believe in your heart always means more to you when you're willing to testify to it. It always does. It always brings a greater clarity to it. It always brings more meaning to it because you're willing to stand up and actually say something positive about what you believe. So
we got one more email here. It says, my husband's job is ending. The company has folded. Usually we would be stressed out, but thanks to grace, we have both had such a great sense of peace this last year. My husband will laugh and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything will work out. This is so unlike him. It's great and exciting. And they titled it Flesh and Spirit.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
Yeah. Well, I like where her husband says, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything will just work out. Well, this gives her a chance to say, well, I know exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do nothing because grace is going to do it for us.
Do everything for us.
And now after listening to a show about being forward thinking and progress, I'm thanking God that the next job you have is twice as good, twice as pay, and we have more free time to be together. And I'm thanking God for it right now. And I would like him to wait for a week so we can still have some together time before your new job starts. Amen. Now that, ladies
That's
and gentlemen... That's a prayer.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there whimpering in a corner like some little kid that just had your sandwich stolen by a bully saying, oh, please, I really will be good. I'm a good person. I know I'm a sinner. But can you please get a sandwich because somebody stole mine and I just really need your help and I love you. Are you serious? If you don't like what I just said because you don't want to listen to it, why do you think God would? Why would the guys?
Right. Yeah, I think it'd be fun right now just to go ahead and say a few things. For the sake of everyone on this holiday season, a time where people are reflecting about the good things that God has done for them. Some of them may be wondering whether God has ever done anything for you or not, but this is a great time for you to put yourself in a place of progress and be joyful about the fact that Jesus died for you. And his death, burial, and resurrection was to literally finish the work once and for all. To give you the right to, just as we've been talking about tonight, to be able to lift up your voice with thanksgiving and say, Lord, it's so good that I don't have to hurt anymore and that I can go do all of the things that I need to do without any difficulty. It's so good to be free from any encumbrances or hindrances to my physical body because Jesus already healed me. Oh, I'm looking forward to having some fun doing this or doing that. The prayer that BJ just prayed about an individual that needs a job. Think about these words and how we're using these words to literally turn the Holy Spirit free and loose to be able to do everything that grace is there to do. And so, Father, I thank you tonight for opening up our eyes and giving us confidence and a fresh boldness just to step out there and get out of the way where you can be God and show us how real you really are. Amen.
Well, that went pretty good. You know what we need to do? We need some new music on your show.
Okay.
We got to pick out some new music for you.
I should let Allie pick out some music while she's home. It would definitely be...
That's your oldest daughter.
Oldest.
She's home from...
Savannah College of Art and Design.
Where she's...
Savannah, Georgia.
Drawing pictures.
Yep, doing great. Doing really good.
Getting good grades. Having
good.
Fun.
Straight A's.
Stretching out. Well. Getting out of mom and dad's, power and...
Out from underneath our strings. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good
underneath
for her.
Your thumb. That's what I want to say. Underneath the,
oh, thanks.
The parental thumb.
Thanks. Yeah, that's right.
I did that when I was 12.
Oh, you didn't wait then, did you?
No.
No.
I had things to do.
Yeah.
I had an itinerary. I was a busy little boy.
Yeah.
That, well, folks, we hope that you have a very good Thanksgiving on Thursday, and also to everybody listening around the globe in all those countries, whatever special days that you may recognize and enjoy in your area over the next couple of weeks, I hope that you do as well. We'll be here through the holidays, and we really appreciate all the emails, all the text messages. I better go to the P.O. box. I'm going to be going to the P.O. box. I know what I'll do. I'll do this. For the next 2 weeks, I'll go to the P.O. box before the show.
Okay.
So that means that I'll go. Hold on. Let me find a calendar here somewhere.
The 3rd?
I'll go to the P.O. box on December 3rd, and I'll go to the P.O. box on December 10th.
There you go.
Because I think it has been a while since I've went.
I think so, too.
And if you got something back in the mail, just send it again.
You know who we haven't said hi to in a long time?
Fred.
Fred.
I thought about it when I said Germany, but I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah.
Fred, let us know if you're still listening. He's got and how things are going up there. I wish that they spoke more English there, so his little group could listen to the show.
Hmm. Hey, Fred, I'm going to be coming to Amsterdam in the end of May, just in case it's...
Are you really?
To Holland, yeah, in case you're around.
Bring me some potato chips.
From Holland?
Yeah, I want some Holland potato chips. I don't know.
Just anything?
I don't think they have barbecue in Amsterdam.
Yeah, they do.
They do?
Yep.
You're sure?
Yep.
You've eaten them? But were they American bagged chips?
No, I think they're from there.
Really?
I'll see. I'll bring you something.
I don't want any wooden shoes because put them in my wood stove.
Well, wait a minute. You know, up in Minnesota where they have the institutions, they've got those, is it called Dutch potato chips?
Yeah.
They're really good potato chips.
They are. They've got a little windmill.
Yeah.
They've got a little Dutch windmill on the front because those were the only potato chips that my grandmother would buy. Those and a potato chip called Highland.
Okay.
Because my grandmother shopped at a grocery store called Hy-Vee. They're all over the place.
Yeah, I know Hy-Vees.
You do? Yeah, they're everywhere up there.
But anyhow, yeah, so I'm sure they have their own brand. Maybe that came from there.
Folks, we'll be here next week. Remember, it takes me about 15 to 20 minutes to get tonight's show loaded and then streaming. Now, when we say goodnight, last week's show will instantaneously start playing for you to listen to. But if you want to listen to tonight's broadcast, when I load it, I turn everything off and back on, which means that you get kicked off. So you'll have to log back on after I get tonight's show up and loaded. It'll be on the archives page and all the other shows. So we want to wish you a good evening. And we want to make sure that we say welcome to all the new listeners. She knows it's the end of the show. So take care of yourselves and your pets. Have a good Thanksgiving. Jim and I will be here next Tuesday, will be December.
That's right. Good night, everyone. Have a good Thanksgiving.
And remember, dog spelled backwards is what, Ranger? Boy, that was a big bark, wasn't it? Well, she always says it best. Good night, everybody.